From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, July 15th, 2020. State elections officials have confirmed that the winner of Maine's 2nd District Republican congressional race will be determined by ranked choice voting. That's despite two candidates' concessions to Dale Crafts, who is the current frontrunner. Unofficial results give Crafts 45% of the vote to Adrian Bennett's 32% and Eric Brakey's 23%, all short of the 50% plus one needed for an outright win.
There is no provision in the ranked choice voting law regarding concession, so we are required to go through the rounds to get to that 50% plus one.
Kristen Musinski, Communications Director for the Maine Secretary of State, says couriers will begin collecting physical ballots or memory sticks from municipalities beginning tomorrow. Tabulations are scheduled to begin Friday. Musinski estimates it'll take about a week to complete the process. Democrats chose Sarah Gideon to face off against Senator Susan Collins. With almost all results in, Gideon has garnered 70% of the vote, so that contest doesn't have to go to a second ranked choice round. Meanwhile, the Secretary of State's office says the people's veto effort, which sought to repeal parts of a law that expands the ranked choice method of voting to the presidential primary and general election in Maine, has failed to qualify for the ballot. The state says more than 11,000 signatures were determined to be invalid, and the effort fell below the threshold of 63,067 needed to qualify. The law will now be in effect for the November presidential election. The Maine Center for Disease Control is reporting 12 new cases of COVID-19 and no new deaths, which remain at 114. The total number of cases confirmed to date is 3,578. 385 are active. The Amtrak train that provides service from Maine to Boston will soon add more round trips as part of its service restoration. The Northern New England Passenger Rail Authority said the Downeaster would begin operating 4 round trips between Brunswick, Maine, and Boston every day starting July 20th. In the weather, tonight generally clear, lows 45 to 57. Tomorrow, variably sunny statewide, still dry, high 65 to 77 degrees.
On the next Maine Calling, domestic abuse during the pandemic. I'm Jennifer Rooks. With more people at home because of the COVID-19 crisis, there are fears that incidents of domestic abuse are either on the rise or going unreported. Experts join me to discuss preventing abuse, getting help, and raising awareness. Maine Calling, Thursday, live at 1 and rebroadcast at 7 on Maine Public Radio.
As of today, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control will no longer receive data from hospitals related to COVID-19. The Trump administration has instead directed hospitals to report that data to a private portal on the Federal Health and Human Services website. The change is raising concerns about transparency, and though federal officials are touting it as a way to streamline data collection, some Maine hospitals say it's more burdensome. Patty White reports.
Under the new policy, hospitals have to provide daily reports on more than 30 metrics, ranging from available hospital beds and ventilators to staffing and supplies. Some of this information is already reported to the Maine Center for Disease Control, but not all. Jeff Austin of the Maine Hospital Association says hospitals understand the need for data, but he says it's tough to keep up with standards that keep changing.
You know, to whom we report the data, what data is reported, the frequency it needs to be reported, is administratively challenging for us.
Austin says the Hospital Association has been told that one of the reasons for the change is to help the federal government better determine where to distribute the drug remdesivir, which is in high demand to treat patients with COVID-19 in states with surging cases.
The frustrating part is our understanding is that they're going to be doing one distribution a week. So why do they need daily updates of data 7 days a week, including Saturday and Sunday?
Austin says reducing the reporting requirement to just a couple times a week would help. Along with the administrative burden, some hospitals are concerned that the switch will reduce access to information. That's because hospitals have been specifically directed to bypass the federal CDC's tracking system and instead submit data to a private portal on the U.S. Health and Human Services website. John Alexander is Chief Medical Officer for Central Maine Healthcare.
The downside to utilizing the DHHS website and portal is that it will create a lack of visibility and transparency into other systems and other states' information. And in our state, we've been using that information right along to help keep us well-informed and in some cases ahead of issues before they got here.
The new requirement does give hospitals the option to report the data to their state, which then relays it to the federal portal. Alexander says he hopes that hospitals here can make that arrangement with the Maine CDC, which would presumably be able to pull the data back.
And then be able to share it readily with those healthcare institutions around the state so that we can be best prepared to serve our citizens.
The Maine Hospital Association says coordinating with the state CDC could also make reporting easier. In a written statement, state CDC spokesman Robert Long says that the agency is still assessing the impact of the new requirement and remains committed to transparency and supporting hospitals as they abide by shifting mandates. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
This is All Things Considered. Maine 1st District Congresswoman Shelley Pinkry says she was successful in amending the appropriations bill for the Department of Homeland Security in a way that could improve the labor supply for Maine tourism businesses. Mal Leary reports.
Thousands of seasonal businesses depend on foreign workers, known as H-2Bs, to do jobs that many Americans won't do. Pingree was successful in continuing a flexible policy on visas for foreign workers that depends on employer demand rather than a flat limit.
Precision workers are not always available for seasonal jobs. The economic recovery of regions that rely on seasonal businesses, like my district, may depend on the availability of H-2B workers.
Pingree says without the continued flexibility in the rules, the recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic could be slowed. She stresses that the amendment continues existing flexibility and does not require more visas to be issued unless there is a clear need. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 for a discussion about domestic violence during the pandemic. I'm Ed Morin.